You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. This is the show where we lean into what's going on here locally. And it's not to say we're not concerned with what's going on internationally, nationally, and of course in the state. And but this show, we focus in on the local issues that are important, hopefully important to you. They're important to me. And with my past job, I'm the guy that filters the shows. And our guests today, plural, we're going to talk about the brain. And that is interesting because I think I missed that class. Anyway, we are going to speak first with Kelsey O'Donnell Mafi.
You got it.
How was St. Patrick's Day? Kelsey O'Donnell Mafi.
It was like, good.
Like paint the town green.
I did not paint it green this year. I have Crohn's, so I have to stay away from some All things, right. including alcohol. So,
I don't drink, and I had a great St. Patrick's Day, so we can do both.
Yeah.
But you, Kelsey, are the communications director, manager at the Brain Center of Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And as I told you, you were on our show, Mine on the Mayor, and for like 10 minutes. And after you left, I'm like, I got to get her on Lean Local where we can spend some serious time. Because I think, I'm not sure a lot of people know we have a brain center here in Green Bay.
I would agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not hurting your feelings.
No, you're not.
Okay. Tell me, let's just start at the 30,000 foot level. Just describe the Brain Center's mission and, you know, how it aligns with our community here in Green Bay.
Yeah. So the Brain Center was founded 7 years ago by five area physicians who really saw that need to kind of fill that gap between a diagnosis of a brain-related disease or condition and the after point. So a lot of times you go to your doctor, you get that diagnosis of Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, and then they say, we'll see you back in 6 months. And they're like, we have to fill that gap. And so what we do is, you know, our mission truly is to prioritize brain health here in Northeast Wisconsin and make sure that everyone has optimal brain health throughout their entire lives. So that's from children to the sandwich generation that I like to call the individuals who have kids at home but are taking care of their parents, and then the aging population as well and what they can do.
And that's called brain health.
Correct.
Not the most common phrase.
No. I think in probably the last 2 to 3 years, it's been more popular. More of that buzzword of like, oh, we have to, you know, better our brain health. A lot of times we're more focused on our heart health, our lung health.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't think about what's happening upstairs, just right above the heart and lungs.
We often talk about the neck down and no mystery to you, but, you know, mental health and all these things are all, you know, obviously neck up, suicide, some of the things we talked about on this show and others. So with the Brain Center, the primary services and programs, is there something that's very common or is it all individualized?
It is individualized. So we have our personalized brain health education where you can come in and meet with a brain health educator and work on those six pillars that we offer, which we can talk about a little later as well. We can work with you on if you have that diagnosis, you want to better your brain health. But then we also go out into the community and we educate not only, you know, the youth in our community, but also just anyone in general, too.
What are we educating them on, though? I want to get clear on what we do here. I was looking at your... You started earlier, and I'm sorry, I kind of skipped over the...
That's okay.
It was founded by a group of physicians.
Correct.
And you got some heavies on there.
We do, yeah.
I mean, I know some of these people. I was reading that, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah. We really do have some great educators on our team.
And the reason these people, men and women, got together was, tell me if I'm wrong here, but if there is a diagnosis and we'll see in 6 months. You're the 6 months?
We're right in between.
Right.
So you get that diagnosis.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. So you can come in. So one of our co-founders, his wife had Parkinson's disease for 44 years. And so that was kind of what got the ball rolling. He and one of our other co-founders were out walking one day and ran into each other. And the simple question was, how's Annie?
Sure.
And that just kind of snowballed into what is the Brain Center today.
So let's talk about Annie without giving her last name.
Yeah.
Okay. So this doctor and his wife had Parkinson's and he didn't want her just being alone sitting in.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So he started to do more research into what people could do to help, you know, slow the disease process or even stop it before it starts. So he and one of our other co-founders, Dr. Dave, so Dr. Luloff is our lead coach, educator, and co-founder, and then Dr. Dave Donarski, they started really getting into the tech. So they read Norman Doidge, who really wrote about the brain's way of healing and how you can really heal itself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so from there, they formed, you know, they got in four or five other individuals on their team and really made that decision to form the nonprofit. But then it took having the staff come in to say, well, what really are we offering the community? And that's where we came up with that personalized education. So working one-on-one.
And the personalized education, are those six steps that
we talked about? Yeah, so we have six pillars.
Pillars.
And we talk about that within the coaching session and then also out in our community outreach. So those pillars are cognitive stimulation, protecting your brain. So that means avoiding the toxins, illness and injuries, wearing your helmet, physical exercise, proper nutrition,
right,
sleep, and stress.
I want to talk about those a little bit later because that sleep thing I want to talk about probably a little bit more than others because I've got a lot of friends and yours truly doesn't always sleep through the night, right?
Well, and how early do you have to be here for your morning show?
Yeah, well, I get up though early, 3:30, you know, four.
That's not me.
It is me though. I want to say that even if I didn't have that morning show, I'd be up anyway.
So okay. Well,
I like getting up, but that's my thing. Anyway, I'll get back to so your primary services are kind of focused on those six pillars. Does everyone who calls you or comes to visit you or stops by your booth at one of these outreach programs that you do they have something? Do they have a note from a doctor? Are you the second stop?
We are the second stop for a lot of them. A lot of their physicians are actually referring them to us, saying, you know, you need to go here for that interim time between now and our next visit. But some people, they just simply find out through word of mouth. Over the last 2 years, the increase of the referrals coming in are actually from a friend or family or a client of ours. So that's great that more people are referring their friend to us, but you don't need to have a diagnosis or a referral from your physician. You can just simply come in because you want to better your brain health and whatever that means to you.
Wow, that should mean a lot to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so when someone comes in, are they with you for life? Are they with it for 6 months? And
however long they want to be with us. We had up until this last year, we had a client come back about every 6 months, once a year, you know, and our sessions, they're not like a quick 15 minutes. The first session when you come in to meet your educator, it's an hour and a half because we really want to get to know you. We don't want you to be able to feel the way that you're being pushed out. We really want you to have that opportunity to talk about what's going on in your life. And that's where some of those aha moments come from, that hour and a half where you finally ask that question of, you know, like, well, how is your sleep? And someone's like, oh, I never thought about sleep and my brain health. And so they're able to kind of make that connection.
Okay. Do people come in, word this right, do they want anybody to know? I mean, is this a family support thing, that brother or sister? Because you have a youth program I want to talk about too a little bit later. Do you meet with the family and say, this is what we got to do with? Okay.
Definitely. So we encourage individuals to bring their loved ones in. We don't want this to be a solo opportunity. If you want to come in alone, you're more than welcome to, but we really want you to bring your family with. You know, we've had sessions where it was the whole family. So it was a spouse. It was, you know, three kids.
And what was the, can I ask what the issue was? Because we talked about Parkinson. Yeah. I'm trying to think of our listeners, something that they could really relate to.
Yeah. Some of it is that, you know, mild cognitive impairment. So like I'm forgetting my keys somewhere, or all of a sudden I'm not, you know, remembering certain things about, you know, my daily life. And it's kind of trickled down where your children have noticed, and that's why they've come in.
And you and your doctors, or you and your doctors, mm-hmm. believe that that can be slowed down.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, how do you define success? Because there's just a lot to it.
Yeah, exactly. So we define success on how the individual feels truly after they leave. You know, we had one client, and this is on our website, you know, she just said to us, you know, you make me feel so comfortable here.
Oh, it's great.
And, you know, she gave me a big hug, and I was like, I'll take that hug any day of the week. So that truly is the success.
And one of the reasons I wanted to get you on this show is, I don't think enough people know that we have this resource here in Greater Green Bay.
Yeah. Everyone has said to us, if we're out in the community, they're like, oh, you guys are a hidden gem. Why didn't we know about
right.
you sooner?
Tell me about some of the outreach, though. I know you and I just talked about the event at GB.
Yeah. So we have our brain awareness event, which is once a year. And this past year, we were at the STEM Center at UWGB with Einstein Project and different other nonprofits in the area. But we go a lot to the Ashwaubenon Community Center and present there. We go to churches and schools.
So. And I want to talk about, we're going to go to a quick break. I want to talk about the collaboration you have with other entities. And you do a good job of that.
Yes.
I mean, I
community over competition.
Right. Yep. I think, wow, that's, should send that to everybody.
Yeah.
No, that is really true. We need that. And then I want to get into these pillars that you focus on for adults as well as the youth. I want to talk a little bit about the youth. So,
perfect.
Yeah, this is great. I'm so glad you're in here, Kelsey. So we are here with Kelsey O'Donnell-Maffey, who is with the Brain Center of Green Bay. We're going to be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I had a brain I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. My head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had
That's with total due respect to you, Kelsey. I came in and I said, Con, can you dig that song, that up?
I love it. That's my favorite movie. As a child, I walked around and I told people my name was Dorothy Gale and I was from Kansas. That's perfect.
I was
in it.
You were big time in it.
Yeah.
I want to talk about collaboration because that's what we're going to go to next. But before we do that, this show has a couple sponsors, and one of them being Nicolet Bank. And I love those people for a lot of reasons. One is because of my previous job, they helped us with a lot of things, events and downtown events and sponsorship. And they're a community bank. They're a community-minded bank. And, you know, they have great staff. And I've also borrowed money from them for a variety of things. But, you know, they've got, 50-some branches now. And that bank only started in 2002. And that's incredible.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's incredible. It was started by Bob Atwell and Mike Daniels. And Bob is retired, but Mike's still running the show there. And they hire people like themselves. Mm-hmm. Just great community-minded local talent. And
I love that.
So I just want to give them a shout-out. They continue to do that. Are you familiar with them at all?
Yeah, they actually were a sponsor for our brain awareness event, I believe for the last 3 years. So we're so grateful for them.
That doesn't surprise me at all. So anyway, thanks to Nicolet Bank for sponsoring the show. So we're talking about the brain, and the brain, you know, is arguably, you know, the most important organ in the human body. I think we would all agree to that. But let's talk about the need for something, an organization like yours, for a brain center. Because I saw in here that the United States has about 2 million people that suffer traumatic brain injury. And that's significant.
That is significant.
And we're going to talk about adolescents too, but between 15 and 19, I mean, that's... So tell me about... That would be a client for you.
Correct. Yes.
So they go to the doctor. The doctor's like, look, we have to exercise his brain a little bit more. We got to work on your brain. Go see Kelsey. And then see me back in 6 months or a year.
Yep.
So what would you do different? We talked about the lady with the Parkinson's disease. What would you do different for the person who suffered a traumatic injury?
It really all depends on where they are and what they want to do, if that kind of makes sense. I kind of want to say that over. It really all depends on the individual because it's so personalized.
Yeah.
So it could easily just be, working with them on their diet, different, things they can do, kind of those brain games, maybe minimizing some of the technology because that could be interfering, and maybe working on some exercise as well.
So let's talk. You mentioned the six pillars when I first met you, and I'm like, what's the structure, the format? And these would apply to everyone, but there would be different things under the pillar. Is that?
It would be different for for each individual that comes in. So you and I could go in and maybe you really want to focus on sleep and I want to focus on stress. It's not that the other five wouldn't fall in. It would just be one is higher up on the list than the other.
All right. So as we exercise our brain and or slow down something that may be negatively affecting our brain, I want to just touch on these pillars so that people could understand what some of the things you're going to be talking about. But let's talk about the fuel, the nutrition quality.
So avocados, they're fantastic for your brain. Sardines, not my favorite, but they're great for our brains. And just starting very simple and small. You don't have to, eat every single brain food. You can start it easy with a sardine or an avocado.
What else? No, I'm just kidding. I like both of those things. I would eat both of them.
Yeah.
Physical exercise, you rate that pretty high.
Yes, we do. We really think that you need to get out there and move your body and in any way that you can, whether it's, just taking your dog for a walk, maybe dancing, different things like that.
And then I have a couple of things I want to ask you about cognitive stimulation. Mm-hmm. Are you word search? Is that you?
Yes. Word search, learning a new language. Dancing, because then you're learning a dance step. That's making your brain kind of fire in a different way.
Right.
Yeah.
Using a different part of your brain.
Exactly.
You say that's okay.
Reading, singing, those are all cognitive stimulation.
So with cognitive stimulation, again, we touched on sleep is
huge.
It is.
It is. And it's something that so many people kind of overlook. I'm just finishing up our newsletter for the spring, and I put in there something about restorative sleep and how when we sleep, it helps our brain to flush out all the toxins. And so you need that to kind of move all of that out of your body so that way you can be energized to get out there and walk, maybe learn something new, read your book, be with your family.
And then lastly, it was just the
stress.
The way you word it, appropriate stress, I think.
Yes.
So that means that some of it might be okay.
Yeah, some of it is okay. So one thing that we like to say is, like planning a wedding or having a baby, that is the more appropriate stress. Whereas maybe it could also be a not appropriate stress that also adds a little more to your life. But having that diagnosis, having some issues at work, different family struggles, that could also be stress. So trying those different ways to kind of work on your stress and become a little zen.
So when the people come in, Parkinson's, traumatic brain injury, or just I'm forgetful, you talk about all six of these pillars.
We do.
But some you may focus on more?
Yeah. So when you come in for a session, what we do right away is we send out a questionnaire that goes over all six pillars. And so from there, we are really able to work out in that first session what you want to focus on too. So if you're eating a little more processed foods, we'll maybe talk to you about kind of reducing that, and, you know, different things of that nature.
And I think when we when I thought about the Brain Center and who would be there, I pictured adults. I'll admit that. And you have a whole division, segment, chapter on children.
We do. That was just started last summer.
Oh, okay.
We partnered with a local, actually with Encompass, to bring it to Great. One of their daycares, actually for summer school. So we were working with school-age children. And this year, a part of our brain awareness event, we had a separate field trip for a school in the area and brought them in and educated on the brain.
That's awesome, because kids shouldn't be embarrassed about that. They got to,
no,
right? You gotta
exactly.
lean into
and
this a little bit.
It's better to get it now than to wait the 20, 30, 40 years when you're like, oh, I should have been exercising, eating, you know, sleeping, brain-healthy foods, sleeping, all of that.
Tell me quickly how we contact you.
You can go to our website, which is www.braincentergb.org, or on social media at BrainCenterGB.
And you're right on Webster?
We are. We're actually located in the lower level of the CP building, which is great. They're one of our amazing collaborative partners, community over competition. I love to say that.
And I just want to touch on that before we do. We got another minute or so here, but who do you work with? Because you're one of the people that come in here and you drop a lot of other organization names. So
yeah, so we work really closely with Curative Connections,
Great.
ADRC,
super.
We go the VA, Einstein Project.
That's our next guest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So well, thank you, Kelsey, for coming in here.
I'm
going to get you back. I know you have some things you're working on in the future. I'm sorry I didn't get to that.
That's okay.
But Kelsey O'Donnell Maffey, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having
me. All right. We'll be right back with the Einstein Project here on Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Lean Local. This show we're dedicating to we're talking about the brain. We're talking about how we can expand our horizons. And I just want to thank Kelsey again from the Brain Center who came in. They're in the CP building on Webster. And if you want to contact her, you can just look at our website and we will give you the direct contact for her. And she was a guest on the show with John and I, and so was our next guest. And Dennis Rockhill, and I've known you for some time, thinking about it, he's the Makerspace Director. So what we have here in Green Bay is the Einstein Project, and that started like 30 years ago, and of course named after one of the best scientists ever, Einstein. And this project is, well, you tell me. I mean, the Einstein Project is more of a kit-driven thing, right? Is that fair?
Yeah. So the whole idea is that we wanted to bring hands-on, inquiry-based science exploration into the classroom. So instead of reading this out of a textbook, they're actually performing experiments, asking questions. They're sort of leading their own way into learning about science.
Sister Jacinta did not have that where I went to school. We were textbook taught at this Catholic school.
Yeah.
Well, and here you are. and you, with your science projects, you do focus on the whole STEM part of things, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And tell us, you know, the
science. So the science kits, you know, cover all, you know, areas of science. If it has an ology behind it, they're doing something with it. And so what was missing, what we've been doing since Einstein started was creating the kits, vetting the curriculum, and then also doing PD or professional development for the teachers to utilize the science kits.
I wanted to ask you about that because, okay. Look, I joke about my science teachers in grade school, but I'm serious. They weren't, we didn't have a lot of the beakers and things, a little bit, right, but right. Not like you guys. I've seen those science kits at these schools. And these kids are a lot younger than
they're
I was,
involved,
too.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
What about the teachers, though?
Yeah, well, I mean, once you go from, you know, teaching out of a textbook and to the way, you know, you and I kind of grew up learning, you know, it takes a lot of retraining and understanding not just what the science concepts are, but how do you actually use all these tools and materials to explore a science subject. It's even changing more now with the new state standards, the NGSS or Next Generation Science Standards, where the students really are sort of in charge in leading their pathway into learning the areas they're doing. So they ask questions, they do some experimentation based on those questions. And that's a hard thing for a science teacher who has been standing in front of a classroom delivering science for so many years to get used to doing, is allowing the students to kind of find their way through it.
Okay. Is this the Einstein Project, if a school adopts it, is it optional?
Oh yeah. Schools can decide what curriculum they want to right. adopt for their science.
And if they pick the Einstein Project for Mr. Tisler's science class, mm-hmm. everyone in the class does it, right? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whereas I want to talk about what you oversee in this sure. Space Maker. Yeah. One of the reasons I wanted to get you back on the show was we were talking about you work with the Einstein Project and the Space Makers. We'll get into the detail, but you said to me, if a kid's taking things apart, you know, lean into that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I was telling people that because I think some of us have seen that and said, you know, don't do that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool when you said that. I really like that because I think there's a lot of talent in the youth. I do. I mean, I mm-hmm. learned that as a dad, but even at a young age, you say, pick up an instrument or they start singing. It's like, you're pretty good at that. And yeah. that can happen with engineering as well?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, you just had the Brain Center in here. One thing that is really good for brain development is not just thinking creatively, but also using your hands while you're doing it. So a big part of creativity is curiosity. So if you're taking something apart because you're curious about it, you're using screwdrivers, you're using a pliers, you're using your tools to try and pull that thing apart and see how it ticks. I mean, that's a huge part of learning. You might be destroying something your parents value and yeah, you got to work through that, but you got to value the learning that's coming with that.
I think that's great. Mm-hmm. I do. And I think, I don't know, you only know what you know, but I don't think, we talked about the Einstein Project, kind of training the teacher with that makerspace, but we got to train parents a little bit more to look for these signs. How young of kids do you bring over there?
Well, we just had two field trips today from one school, and we started with kindergarten.
Really?
We had kindergartners through fourth grade in our first session, and then we worked with middle schoolers after that.
Wow. The young kids, tell me a little bit about that program. If you're a first grader, you take them out to your place.
Right. So, you know, kind of along the lines of the take apart session, what we like to do especially is get them comfortable in the space, get them comfortable using the tools. And really we start with tinkering. We have a lot of scrap materials that come from our kits, that come from, you know, building, and when we're laser cutting, we have parts that we'll use, but we really encourage them to take parts that don't seem related and put them together to create some sort of a vision, some sort of an idea. So really that connection of unrelated things is just really good creativity building.
I just think that's great that that you're doing this. And do you send a report to the parents like, you know, Johnny's got some real interest in engineering. I don't think we talk engineering at home as a curriculum, right? As a field, it's, in my house, but, you know, doctors, nurses, you know, things that are a little bit more visible. Do you follow up with the parents somehow or teacher?
We're not formal about it, but we do have a lot of discussions with the parents, you know, after a workshop or after some sort of an activity that we do. Quite often the parents know already, and they're just trying to find outlets for their kid to kind of embrace that journey.
I was looking at your calendar of events. Mm-hmm. You're very busy. There are those outlets, thanks to you.
We have a lot, yeah.
Yeah. And tell me a little about, they differ a little bit throughout the month, I saw.
Oh, yeah. Especially during school time. You know, we have school field trips coming in. We do residencies at school going out. We have homeschool workshops. We have after-school workshops. We have weekend workshops.
And this is out at the engineering building, the Rush, at UWGB?
Yeah, at the STEM Innovation, the Brown County STEM Innovation Center. Yeah, most of our in-house workshops are held there.
Okay. With the parents, you know, my kid does have this interest, the cost. And this can't be inexpensive.
Yeah, you know, that's something we discuss quite a bit. You know, so STEM in general is just expensive. You're talking electronics, you're talking, you know, coding, computers, 3D printers. There's a lot involved with that. I think our being a nonprofit really helps that because, you know, we don't have to make money. We just can't lose money. Mm-hmm. But we can also work hard to make it more and more affordable for those who may not be able to pay that by, you know, that this is where we reach out to the community and say, hey, can you help with this? We can offer scholarships or we can offer a program for free or reduced cost.
Tell me, I'm going to wrap up with this too. You're going to be here for a while, but if they want to give money, like how do you donate to, donate, that's the right word, to make space, makerspace? Mm-hmm. Or is it Einstein? If it goes to Einstein, will it get to you?
Yeah. If it goes to Einstein and you specifically say, hey, I would like this to support the makerspace, it will support the makerspace.
So you talked about electronics, water, just all sorts of the wood that you're working with. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the laser. I was reading about that. That's like high tech for anybody, much less a
14-year-old. You know, laser cutting technology is come so far in such a short time, mostly in its accessibility. So the machines are getting lower and lower cost. The software is getting easier to use. The learning curve is not so steep. So somebody comes into our space, I can get them up and running and using a laser cutter somewhat independently in, you know, probably a half an hour. You know, now to gain mastery over it is a different story, but, you know, they will know what buttons to push, how to turn it on, how to set up a piece and run it in a very short time.
And looking at your programs, do you see kids interested in one more than the other, or is that part of going out there and seeing what y'all got?
Yeah, it's definitely 3D printing.
It is.
That's where a lot of the interest lies. A lot of students that we get in to our space already have a 3D printer at home, but then their parents are discovering that they're using that 3D printer to download files and then just output them. So they're really still kind of acting as a consumer, whereas they really wanted to get this machine to be more of a creator. So when they come to us, we're doing a lot of the teaching that gets them building and creating from scratch, you know, really following the design process to build something they want to make.
That is very cool. I'm really impressed with you, Dennis. Tell me about the relationship. We talked a little bit about with the parents, and parents, if they see this, they need to make an effort and contact the Einstein Project or contact you over at the Makerspace. What about the collaboration with the schools? Is that strong, good, could be better?
Kind of all of the above. So there are schools that just value it highly. They seek it. they're willing to pay for it, or they find the funds to pay for, you know, whatever kind of programming we would do in collaboration with them. There are schools that really want to, but just don't know how. And those are the ones that, that we're really trying to seek out and support as much as we can, because we know that the more they're going to do that, the more the students are going to want higher level interaction, and we'll see them later anyway.
Right.
There are schools that are either just not ready, or just not, I guess, accepting of it, or they're just so far underwater that, that they have bigger fish to fry. And, you know, we really look for ways to support them, but we also don't want to get in their way when they're fighting higher priorities.
Yeah. And some of the after school programs, Boys and Girls Club, they bring a lot of kids in. Do they get to know of you?
Yeah, we try to get out to them more than they get to us. Just transportation is such a hard thing.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of support for our mobile programming. Which, you know, we can bring out to them. We have a 28-foot trailer with laser cutters.
Let's talk about that. That's a cool thing. Yeah. I mean, there are, you know, even at the new community clinic, the bookmobile, this transportation's an issue in our community. Mm-hmm. And so tell me what's in that mobile unit and how one could connect with that.
Right. So we have kind of two mobile programs. They're very closely related, but one we call the Sandbox, and that gets out to parks and libraries and events that are held mostly throughout the summer, but, you know, late spring, early fall as well. And that is really sort of a, hey, there's a crowd of people and we're going to bring some cool activities and people can walk up and interact with them. We also have what we call our design lab, and that's relatively new to the Einstein Project. It's a 28-foot trailer that we tow. It's got, you know, 10 3D printers, two laser cutters,
oh, wow,
a whole bunch of, you know, prototyping tools, and it's just really fun to be able to do all that creation in a trailer.
Well, and that's something that, as hard as parents work, you can't expose your kid to all of that. You know, that's a lot of equipment, knowledge in a trailer that they have access to because it's in the neighborhood, especially at one of these parks. All right. We got to take a quick break here. Okay. I want to get back. I want to talk a little bit about this team effort and what they learned socially, as well as, you know, the engineering side of things. This is going to be great. We are here with Dennis Rockhill, who is the director of Makerspace, part of the Einstein Project. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is a show where we're talking about the great things that are going on here in our local community. And today we're spending a little bit of time with the Brain. We had Kelsey on here from the Brain Center of Green Bay, and now we're talking with Dennis Rockhill, who is the director of Makerspace. Makerspace is a program, a hands-on learning program that Dennis is, you started it, right?
Mm-hmm. Me and a couple of guys started it in Green Bay.
Yeah. What, 10? No, longer than that.
10 years ago.
10 years ago?
Yep.
Okay. And it's a great opportunity. They're located out at UWGB in the engineering building, the Brown County engineering part of that. I was telling you during the break, Dr. Hunsinger runs the medical college here in Green Bay. And when I was mayor, he told me, he goes, I said, how can I help you? I mean, this is just so great we have this here. He goes, look, you need to get us into the schools because there are kids there who could be doctors that don't know they could be doctors. And I thought that was really not only kind, but true. I think parents, as hard as they try, and they do, you just you may not expose your kid to engineering. You may not expose your kid to medical, and you give that opportunity. And
I think what's important with the work that we do is it kind of creates this level playing field. So, you know, we have plenty of a very academically talented kids that do work in our space, and they do a great job. We also have students that struggle, students that have, you know, learning disabilities like dyslexia. Maybe they're a little bit on the spectrum, but the kind of work that we do kind of puts them in a space where, hey, I don't necessarily have to utilize those very strict academic skills to do this, but I can really excel at this in a much more fundamental way that gives them confidence. It gives them kind of a few wins that they can look at what they've done and go, yeah, I'm pretty good at this.
I did
can
that.
Figure things out. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Hey, something I was reading about with your organization is working together. And I think we need to work as teams a little bit better on a number of things. I'm talking about nonprofits to politicians. In medicine right now, I mean, the smartest kid may become the doctor, but part of their interview is working as a team.
Absolutely.
They need doctors to work as a team because no one knows everything. And some of us realize that earlier than others, but tell me about the team effort, if that's a priority for you at the Makerspace.
Yeah, it's a huge priority for us. So we lean heavily on what are called the four C's. So 21st century skills that are creativity, communication, collaboration, and critical thinking. We take that very seriously. You can read anything about the history of invention and learn that most inventors that we think of as these lone geniuses didn't do all the heavy lifting themselves. They've had lots of help, whether they learned from somebody who came before them or had somebody in the background doing the work with them. It's always a collaborative effort. It is. Coupled with that, my oldest daughter, Autumn, as she was growing up, she was in Destination Imagination. Mm-hmm. And that's a creative competition. But part of that competition is called an instant challenge, where, you know, the team gets kind of brought into a room, no spectators, just the coaches and the facilitators. And they have a very short time to solve a problem. They have limited time, limited materials, and limited instruction. But solve this. It's something, you know, we have to do every day as adults in any kind of a creative environment. But what they're watching is how the team works together. And do they have a language for getting to the essence of the problem quicker? Do they have a language that respects each other as a team and kind of builds ideas, or do they have a language that sort of tears each other down? Watching those dynamics is really a big part of the score of that instant challenge.
Wow.
So we're really building on that with what we call creativity scrimmages, which are really sort of those instant challenges in a box that, you know, make it easier for schools or any organizations to run one of these scrimmages at a moment's notice, make it very easy. And we're very careful to call them scrimmages because this is practice. Mm-hmm. You know, collaboration and communication doesn't just happen.
As you're speaking, Dennis, I'm thinking of these safe houses where you get locked in.
Yeah.
You know, and
right.
I'd still be in there.
Me too.
But it's amazing that's collaboration. You got to really listen and mm-hmm. not discount ideas, right?
Exactly. You can see in any group project, there's that kid sitting in the background that doesn't look like they're contributing, but they may have great ideas. As a team, do you decide to just let that person sit in the background, just get out of the way if you can't contribute? Or do you draw something out from them? Hey, I know you've got great ideas. Maybe your style of communicating them isn't working, you know? So how do we work with you to pull that out? Because you're a valuable member of the team.
If adults could learn that, I mean, maybe it's too late, but that you're teaching that, I think is as important as anything else on those four C's.
Yeah, it's important for adults too. We do these creativity scrimmages in team building, you know, in corporate level too. And they're every bit as informative and eye-opening as they are with any youth.
Yeah, Dennis, I didn't mean to say they don't need it. I thought maybe they weren't as open to it as a student would be. I think that's what I was saying. I don't doubt they need it. I'm one of them. You know, I think this whole STEM hands-on learning, what an opportunity, you know, and mm-hmm. I thank you for leading this 10 years. I know you've been at this, your heart's in it. I think it's great. Tell us about your website, how we can get more information.
Sure. It's einsteinproject.org, O-R-G. Go there and follow, you know, any of the links that you're interested in. If you're interested in the makerspace, follow the makerspace links. You'll see plenty of opportunities to contact me directly if you want to.
Dennis, this is awesome. This has been great. Well, thank you for listening. This has been Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll be back next week with another very interesting episode.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.